Our scripture reading today is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 32, reading the verses 1 through 8. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. During the past several weeks, we have been reflecting on the relationship between Christ and his people, focusing on several metaphors that describe that relationship. So far, we have seen that Christ is our portion, he is our freedom, he is our door and our life. And today, with the Lord's help, we want to consider the theme, Christ, our hiding place, taken from this chapter that we have just read, Isaiah 32 at verse 2. And there Isaiah says, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his holy and infallible word. Dear friends, do you have a hiding place? When you were a child, it could have been a fort or a treehouse or an abandoned shed. Today, it could be your bedroom, a quiet nook in the corner of your rec room or in your backyard. A hiding place is some place that you go when you want to be alone or when you need protection and safety. Well, this morning I want to tell you about the best hiding place ever. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Earlier we read together from Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32 contains a wonderful prophecy of the spiritual kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was written to comfort the Old Testament church, which was about to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And Isaiah here assures the people of God that although they would be taken into captivity, God would be faithful to his promises. He would send the Messiah as he had said, and his reign would be glorious. Now this prophecy begins in verse 1 with a description of the rulers of this kingdom. Isaiah says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Two kinds of rulers are mentioned here. First, a king and his princes who administer the kingdom on his behalf. The king is Christ, who is the king of his church. The princes are his people. The king is said to rule in righteousness, and the princes are said to rule in judgment. In other words, in this kingdom, perfect justice and equity will prevail. Following this, in verse 2, Isaiah goes on to declare that in this kingdom, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, who is this man that Isaiah is speaking of here? Commentators are divided on that question. Some say this refers to the princes, Thus they translate as follows, "Each one," meaning each one of the princes, "shall be as an hiding place or a shelter from the wind." But the context and the grammar suggest that it's better to interpret this as a reference to the king himself. So what Isaiah is saying is that the king, who is Christ, will be a man who will be as a hiding place from the wind. Now this is not the first time or the only time that the Lord Jesus is called a hiding place. The same word is used in Psalm 32, verse 7, where David, speaking to the Lord, says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Well, we have that same picture here. Christ here is called a hiding place from the wind. Now, what does this mean exactly? And what is this wind? And how is Christ a hiding place from this wind? These are some of the questions we want to consider with the Lord's help in our sermon today. The theme for the sermon is Christ, our hiding place. And we'll see that he is, first of all, a necessary hiding place, and secondly, a suitable hiding place. Isaiah here calls Christ our hiding place from the wind. Now, what is this wind that Isaiah speaks of here? What does it represent? Well, the wind in Scripture can be a metaphor for many things. It can be a metaphor for nothingness, for meaninglessness, for insignificance. It can be a metaphor for the judgment of God, for the power of God, and even for the Holy Spirit. In this context, however, it is a metaphor for something else. It is a metaphor for adversity, for troubles and afflictions. What Isaiah is saying, therefore, is that Christ is a hiding place, a place of protection, a place of safety in times of trouble. Now, there are two kinds of troubles that afflict the believer. The first are outward troubles. These include things like sickness, death, poverty, persecution. These are troubles that come from without, from outside of us. Such troubles have always afflicted and will continue to afflict the people of God. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." And the Apostle Paul said, "Through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of heaven." Every believer knows something of these outward troubles and tribulations. They're like the wind. Then there are also inward troubles. These include things like temptations, questions, fears, doubts. These are troubles that come from within, from inside of us. These things, too, have always afflicted and will continue to afflict the people of God. Paul says he was continually buffeted by a thorn in the flesh, which he called a messenger of Satan. Elsewhere, he says he experienced fightings without and fears within. Asaph in Psalm 77 cried out to God with his voice. His sore ran in the night and ceased not. His soul refused to be comforted. He remembered God and was troubled. He complained and his spirit was overwhelmed. He communed with his own heart and said, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in mercy, in anger, shut up his tender mercies?" Every believer knows something of these inward troubles, these doubts and fears. And these troubles, inward and outward, are like the wind. At times, these winds may be like a gentle breeze. At other times, they may be strong and ferocious. In fact, it's likely the latter kind of wind that Isaiah has in mind here in our text. And that is because we do not normally seek for a hiding place from a gentle breeze. The point is, the believer is often buffeted by winds and trouble and affliction. Now, why is that? Why isn't the life of the believer smooth sailing? Why do we experience so much trouble and affliction? Why is it that so often the winds blow the way that they do? What purpose do these winds of trouble and affliction serve? Well, they serve several purposes. First of all, they serve to purify us. Just as the wind purifies the air, removing all impurities and pollutants, so troubles purify the believer. They cause us to realize our weakness and to rely more and more on God's strength. They can also wean us away from sinful thoughts and practices and cause us to take the Christian life more seriously and to think more soberly, especially about eternity. Also, these winds search us. Wind has a way of searching out the tiniest holes and cracks. If your front door is not completely airtight because a piece of weather stripping has come loose, you might never notice it until a cold wind blows against it. And so it is with our troubles. They expose the various nooks and crannies in our hearts and souls so that we might look for and find a remedy. Jesus speaks of this in the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Two men went out to build a house. The one man built his house upon the sand, the other upon the rock. But when the winds blew and the rains came, and the house that was built on the sand came crashing down because it was built on the sand, the builder might never know that his foundation was faulty had the winds not blown. And so it is for the believer. You might never know what is faulty in our spiritual life if from time to time the winds of trouble do not blow upon us. Thirdly, these winds cool us. There's nothing more refreshing than a cool breeze coming off the lake on a hot summer day. That's also true with respect to our troubles, isn't it? Sometimes the believer becomes scalding hot in the pursuit of the world or perhaps of some particular sin in his life, but then God stirs up the winds of trouble to cool us down. And there's nothing like the affliction to wean us away from our sinful pursuits and inclinations. Fourthly, these winds keep us awake and alert. A sailor will not be able to sleep when a strong wind is blowing. The wind keeps him alert. So it is with all of our troubles, isn't it? Our troubles keep us awake and alert. They cause us to be on the lookout for sin and temptation and to avoid it at all costs. The point is, dear friends, the winds of trouble, though painful, can be a blessing from God. They can aid us in the life of sanctification and draw us closer to Him. Well, do you know of that in your own life? Have the winds of trouble had this effect on you? Have they purified you? Have they searched you? Have they cooled you? Have they kept you awake and alert? Do not think that once you become a believer, all will be calm and tranquil. The reality is there will be one storm after another. At times, the wind in these storms will blow softly so that you hardly notice them. But at other times, they will blow more strongly. But they will blow, and therefore we must be prepared. For we never know when these winds will start to blow or how strongly they will blow. And as soon as one wind dies down, another will begin, at times when we least expect it. But you say, how can we prepare ourselves for the storms? Well, we must seek shelter. We must seek a hiding place. Several days ago, the state of Texas was hit by one of the most powerful hurricanes in years, Hurricane Harvey. People have been injured and some even killed. And there's been unimaginable loss of property. Houston, the fourth largest city in the United States, is buried under meters of water. It is a disaster of epic proportions, and it will take years for the areas affected to recover. The people of Texas know about how important a hiding place is. Many sought out such places in order to protect them from the ferocious winds and the torrential rains of that horrific hurricane. But my friend, even if you do not live in Texas, you also need a hiding place. You need a hiding place from the wrath of God against sin. The wrath of God against sin is so great that nothing and no one can stand in its way. We need a hiding place. one that can withstand this wrath. Unless we have such a hiding place, we will be utterly consumed. Now, where is such a hiding place to be found? It is to be found only in Christ. He is the best hiding place from troubles within and without, and from the fierce wrath of God against sin. And that brings us to our second point. Christ is the best hiding place when the winds of trouble blow. In Christ, no one can attack us. No one can topple us. No harm can come to us except it be His will. We are safe in Him. He is a perfectly suitable hiding place for all. Now, what is there in Christ that makes Him such a suitable hiding place for His people? Several things. First of all, His providence makes Him a suitable hiding place. The scriptures say that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Now, although this is referring primarily to the Father, we may believe that the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, keeps the same watchful eye over His people as the King of His church. Wherever they are, and whatever they do, the eye of the Son is upon them, so that nothing happens by chance, and all things work together for their good, for the extension of His kingdom, and to His glory. His providence is a hiding place. Secondly, the attributes of Christ make Him a suitable hiding place. All the divine attributes that are ascribed to the Father are ascribed to the Son as well. Like the Father, the Son is said to be eternal, almighty, omniscient, loving, and wise. All of these attributes are a comfort to the believer. They are like stones that make up a strong hiding place. Thirdly, the promises of Christ make Him a suitable hiding place. The scriptures are full of promises. There are promises for every situation in life. The Apostle Paul says that all of these promises are in Christ, yea and amen. Christ has purchased them. They all have their ratification and accomplishment in Him. And as believers, we may plead upon those promises. They are like a hiding place in times of trouble. Fourthly, the merits of Christ make Him a suitable hiding place. By the shedding of His blood and His perfect life, Christ merited for His people whatever they need for body and for soul. And these merits are a kind of a hiding place for the believer. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, Solomon is recorded as saying to his people, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. God's people hide themselves in His merits, like a dove hides herself in the cleft of the rock. Fifthly, the sympathy of Christ makes Him a suitable hiding place. Although the Lord Jesus Christ is fully human, fully divine, He is also fully human. And as such, He can identify with us in all of our cares and all of our concerns. The writer to the Hebrews describes Him as our sympathetic high priest. That means He is not indifferent to our troubles. He understands. He sympathizes. In all our afflictions, He was afflicted, for He has experienced them Himself. He did so throughout His life on earth, but especially on the tree of the cross. It was especially then that He experienced the waves and the billows of affliction. Outwardly, He experienced the pain from the spikes in His hands and in His feet. Unquenchable thirst, mockery and taunting and ridicule of the two thieves who were crucified with Him, as well as the Jewish religious leaders and those who passed by. But inwardly he experienced those billows as well when he was cut off from and forsaken by his father as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he knew what it was to be tossed about by the winds of trouble and affliction. And that means he is able, yes, also willing to help us when we experience these winds of affliction. And all of these things, and yet much more, make Christ a suitable hiding place for his people. But we can learn several lessons from this. First of all, the fact that Christ is a hiding place for his people implies that they are very precious to him. They're described in the scriptures as the excellent ones, flowers, roses, and lilies, which are the best of flowers, fine gold, silver, wheat, precious stones, and jewels. Because they are so precious to him, the Lord Jesus will do anything in order to save and preserve them. They are the members of his body. And as such, he looks after them with the same care that he uses to look after himself. The wicked despise them. They regard them as the offscouring and filth of the world, but Christ regards them as precious. So precious that he numbers the very hairs on their head. Oh, do you realize that, dear believer? You are more precious to Christ than your children are to you. He loves you and cares for you more than you can ever know. You are hidden in him. You are engraven on his heart. He loves you with an everlasting love. Oh, never forget that, especially not when the winds of trouble and affliction blow. But secondly, since Christ is the hiding place of his people, not one of them will go lost. Every one of them will enter into glory. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Christ can no more lose his people than we can lose a member of our own body, for they are hidden in him. What a comfort that is. When we are assaulted by doubt and fear and a lack of assurance, when we are weary of running and fighting, at such times we can question whether we will ever enter into glory, whether we will ever make it to the finish line. But Christ is our hiding place. We are hidden in him, therefore we are safe. Christ will bring every one of his people to glory. Thirdly, since Christ is the hiding place of his people, what miseries must be endured by those who are not in him? All unbelievers are without Christ. They may be attached to him by outward profession, like unfruitful branches in the vine, but unless they are united to him by a true and living faith, they do not have him as a hiding place. Instead, they seek for other hiding places. Some trust in horses and chariots. Some trust in princes. Some trust in their riches, their friends, and their status. Some trust in doctors and medication and therapists and counselors. Some trust in their good works, their baptism, their membership in the church, their spiritual experiences. Men invent and look for so many hiding places. But none of these hiding places can afford us the protection and the safety that we need. That is to be found only in Christ. The people of Jericho thought that they were safe behind their thick walls. But on the day appointed by God, these walls came tumbling down, and everyone in the city was destroyed. Only Rahab and her family were saved. Joab thought he would be safe as long as he held on to the horns of the altar. But his hope was in vain. He was slain like he had slain so many others before him. The Jews during the days of Micah thought they were safe because they had the temple in their midst. The temple of the Lord, they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. But within a short time, they were carried into captivity. point is, none of the hiding places that we create and that we run to can afford us the protection and the safety that we need. There is only one who can hide us from the winds of trouble and the winds of affliction and the winds of God's wrath, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, if we believe on Him, He will hide us from the greatest wind. Yes, from the wind of God's judgment. My friend, are you looking to Him? Are you hiding yourself in Him? Apart from Him, you will not survive. You will surely perish. But in Him, you will be kept safe. And you will live to all eternity. Now maybe you say, how can this Savior become my hiding place? First of all, you must see your need for this hiding place. You must believe that what the scriptures teach, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that the only one who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you must repent of sin and look in faith to Christ, to His active and passive obedience as the only hope and ground of your salvation, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior and King. And then you must also live a holy life to the glory and praise of God, in accordance with all of His commandments, out of thankfulness for all that He has done for you in Christ. My friend, will you do that? When Noah was building the ark, there's no doubt that he was mocked and ridiculed by his friends and neighbors. They thought he was crazy. "Look at Noah," they must have said, "building this huge ark so far from the sea. He's lost his mind." But when the rains came, Noah and his family and all of the animals went into the ark. The ark was their hiding place. There they were kept safe until the waters receded from the earth and the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. And what about those who did not enter into the ark? They perished. And the same will happen to all those who do not enter into Christ, the hiding place. But my friends, thanks be to God, the door of this ark is still open. It is not yet shut. And God invites all men to enter in and to be saved. He invites sinners everywhere to enter into Christ, the hiding place. Oh, do so today, before this invitation is withdrawn. Seek refuge in Christ. Let Him be your hiding place, and you shall live to all eternity. Amen.